So just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will meet with each of us this morning and minister to us. I pray, Lord, that our praises and worship will glorify and bless your holy name. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak this morning will be according to your will and not mine, Father. I ask this in the name of your Son and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, this is a first for me. I've obviously led parts of services here before. And, well, I thought that having this new experience might feel a bit like this. Do you want to put the first slide up, Sandra?
Yeah.
Please. Well, a bit like that anyway, a fish out of water. But then, you know, I thought this morning, it was, well, pretty much this morning, that, well, that's really silly. Because I actually feel a bit like this. I'll have the next one. That's a bit more comforting, isn't it? Yeah. I feel like I'm a fish swimming amongst my family of fishes. And they look very happy, don't they, amongst their church family. Yes. So, Nick did ask me, just before he went on sabbatical, Pete, do you fancy leading a service? And without even thinking, I just said, yes, I'll take a service. And then he said, when would you like to do it? And I said, as at the back end of your sabbatical, if that's all right, as far away as possible. So, right. So, two mistakes there. Firstly, you never volunteer for anything, do you? You shouldn't. And the second mistake was putting it at the back of the sabbatical because I kept thinking I've got loads and loads of time to prepare and putting it off. And also, we've had such wonderful messages and sermons in his absence, haven't we? Lots of fantastic sermons. And I think, well, it's a bit like a packet of crisps, isn't it? When you open a packet of crisps, all the good ones are at the top, aren't they? All the big, tasty ones are all at the top. You get to the bottom and you're down at the crumbs. So hopefully I don't feel too much like that this morning. And as you know, well, you might not know, Sue and I are having and are still having quite a lot of building work done in our house. And it's fair to say, isn't it, Sue, this, it's taken a bit longer than what we first anticipated. And obviously that was partly because my brother was going to be doing it and he had a major aneurysm. But thank the Lord, he's on the mend. So it just left his friend, and we've known him a lot of years, haven't we? Stu the builder, not Bob the builder. Yes, he's jack of all trades, really, isn't he? Well, anyway, and he's not the most youngest. He's not a spring chicken. He's about 67 years old. Anyway, it's really nice to have him around, and we sometimes get to have a little bit of chats, but I'm not pushing too much of God on him at the moment. I'm just lulling him into a false sense of security. But anyway, he's got years and years of building experience, and he's got all the tools you can think of, all the drills, all the saws, some electric, some battery ones, everything. Anyway, and he's got all the tools, all the screws, all the fixings you could ever want. In fact, he's like a portable tool station. It's just amazing me how much stuff he's got. Well, on Thursday, he said, Pete, he goes, do you have any of those little yellow rule plugs? And I don't know if you've ever seen them. I just thought I'd show you, just for those who are not builder-minded, if I can get it out there. And I just want you to show it physically, if I can open the lid. They're little packs, they're tiny, tiny little rule plugs. And I'll tell you what, I went to my shed with excitement because I knew I had some. And I thought, I've got something that Stu hasn't got. So that was really good. And they were just the right job. And he had to fit, these are like little vents. I know it's a bit boring, but these are little vents that go on outside of extractor fans. So I was chuffed to bits that although he had everything you think he could have had, there was still something that he needed. And I suppose why I'm telling you this little bit of story is that with God willing today, that I hope that at least one little nugget of God's truth would become the right job and the right fixing for at least one person today anyway. So, firstly, the word relationship. And it's quite interesting what Jen mentioned about us. Does anybody know Dom this morning? Because that's part of what I'm going to be talking about, the word know. So, as in K-N-O-W, not no, you can't. So, relationship, what does that word mean? Well, the Oxford Dictionary defines it as, and I'll read it, the way in which two or more people or things are connected, or the state of being connected. So can we have the next slide, please, Sandra, if that's okay. There we are. I do like pictures. So the Hebrew word for relationship, or the meaning, sorry, the Hebrew meaning for the word relationship, and I use via search engine because I'm no biblical scholar. I'm not very learned either. About four GCSEs to my name, so search engines is great. So the Hebrew meaning for relationship is link or connection, so in line with the Oxford Dictionary, or not, as in not, and because I didn't want to confuse not from not. So I thought I'd show you that. So it's something that is tied together. So I'd like to look at another word now. So if we could have a look at the next slide, please, Sandra. Right. This word is a Hebrew word, and it's called yada. And I even looked up on Google how to pronounce it, and it's yada. So it's pretty good. So, and the meaning is to know. And that's where we were talking about knowing Dom. But it also means or be known. And in fact, it's used in scripture in many, many different places. And we've heard a few examples this morning where it was used in the verses of Psalm 139. And you can see up there, just knowing God, in covenant, to be known by God, relationship. It's a knowing that's an intimate kind of knowing. So, verse 1 of 139, it said, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know, or you yada me. You know, or you yada, when I sit and rise. You perceive and understand my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you know, yada it completely, O Lord. But this word yada, however, is not just used to describe knowing, as in knowledge of someone or something with your mind. But it also speaks of knowing that is much deeper and more intimate. It's also used in the scriptures in the context of covenants between God and his people. As in to know people by relationship or by experience. It can also be translated as chosen. And that's a lot of meanings for such a small word, isn't it? You know, one preacher I've listened to on occasions often says that if he wants to find clarification or confirmation on things that he is studying or reading in the scriptures, he usually finds it in the book of Genesis. And we heard what Peter read earlier in Genesis, in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth or land, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In verse 24, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. And in other verses, earlier on in chapter 1, which we didn't read out, There are examples, God saying, God said, let there be light. Let there be an expanse between the waters. Let the land produce vegetation. So we can see that there are noticeable differences in verses 26 and 27 from the other verses around creation. And obviously the obvious one is that God is plural. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. I did look up in Matthew Henry's commentary. He said that the creation of mankind was an act of divine wisdom. And previously the words of command had been, let there be, and now the word of command has turned to a word of consultation. Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. Consultation is different from the other commands during the whole of the creation. And to me, it speaks of relationships. And that's what will bring us back to yada and no. So we are made male or female in God's image and likeness. And I think we were talking about this at invitation prayer, to prayer a couple of weeks ago. I just want to emphasize that out of all of God's creation, we, that's us, are the icing on the cake of his creation. In fact, we're the cherries on top of the icing, sparkling in his land like jewels in a crown. And that comes from Zechariah. I'd like us just to take a moment to think about that, that we are the icing on God's cake of creation. And having said that, I'd like to say it's very important to remember, although we are very unique, we're all very different, we're all wonderfully special, we're all very precious in God's eyes, but we are not God. We're just like him. We have parts of God in us. If we can have the next slide, Sandra, if that's all right, please. Thank you. I think this is the last one. There you go. I don't know. That's probably the best one I could find. We can probably agree that we don't possess many of these attributes and characteristics of God's, what are shown here on this sign. I don't know if you can make out and read that, but there's one that, well, hands up if anyone's omnipotent. No? Hands up if anyone's omniscient. No? Anybody impeccable? Okay. All powerful? No. Almighty? Oh dear, let's find some. Hold on. I'll say that one, but I don't know what that one means, really. Immutable. Can anyone help me on that one? Unchangeable. Oh, well, thank you. There's somebody here with more than four GCSEs. Brilliant. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. Gracious. Well, I can think of a few people who've been very gracious. You're all being very gracious, having to listen to me today. Nobody's got them walked out yet, so that's a plus. Merciful. Yeah. Perfect? No, definitely not. Trustworthy? Yes, I think there's some very trustworthy people here. Faithful, I've said. Here's one. Eternal. How about that? Anyone disagree with that? Are we all eternal?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we can agree then, can't we, that we do have some attributes or characteristics which are like God. We believe as Christians that God is three in one, a triune being, a Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Also believe they are in perfect relationship with each other. So I think yada would be a good expression to say about God's relationship with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So what attributes and characteristics? We've talked about a few. We've been given authority, haven't we? It said in Genesis, and dominion over the earth. I'm not saying we've made a good job of it, but we've been given the authority and dominion and over all the creatures. God also gave us free will in his likeness. We have freedom to choose. We have freedom to choose the right things to do or the wrong things to do. Eve chose to pick the fruit and Adam chose to eat it. We also have a soul, what I've just alluded to, which is eternal. And God is also spirit, and of course eternal. Tells us that in John 4. But unlike our bodies and minds that are clearly not eternal. And I think we can all agree on that, that our bodies and minds are not going to be around forever. Some people here might have remember my late father. Towards the end of his life, when he was pretty much physically and mentally spent, and he was unable to retrieve any memories, not even be able to verbalise much at all, really. And it was just a few days, actually, before he died, when we went to see him. I remember he held my mum's hand and he said to her, "I don't know who you are." Because, you see, he'd just lost all his knowledge. That had gone. Or it was still there, perhaps, but it wasn't functioning anyway. But then he said, "But I do know, yada, that I love you." Because, you see, his soul was unaffected by his ailing body. Unaffected by his mind that had deteriorated. And you know his soul, I'll say that again, and his soul is still very much alive because it's eternal. It's living, he's living with the Father in heaven. And all of our souls are eternal too, being made in the image and likeness of God. So, and despite the fact that we are aware, aren't we, that we now live in a fallen and sinful and polluted world, and despite the fact that we have become separated, untied, disconnected from our Creator, all because of our sin and the sin of our forefathers, God still, he still, even since day one and throughout all of history, knows, he yarders each one of us. So it doesn't matter where we are or at what point we are in our relationship, even if we haven't got a relationship with God, he knows and he yarders us. He knows us intimately. Just think of those words in Psalm 139. And what's even better, he desires to have a relationship with all of us, all of his children. His desire is to be linked and connected and tied to us, as tight as the knot we saw before. And the man holding those linked chains, that's how God wants us to be, in relationship with him, in his perfect relationship. And I think that's worth something we should consider and take a moment to do so. So all humanity possesses the characteristics to know. I believe that is one of our characteristics. and one of our likenesses of God, we possess that characteristic to know. It's in our soul. And it's in our soul to know and to yada God, to be linked and connected and tied in with him. Problem is that most people's desires to yada are misdirected, aren't they? Or they're being redirected to the wrong places, wrong things, even to other people. And what do God call these in the scriptures? He calls them false gods. And God warns us about them. In Exodus 23, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." But I think this probably could be another topic for another day, so I won't expand on that at all. So, how do we become more closely linked? How do we become better connected or tied, more tighter, if you like, to God and to know and to yada him more intimately? Well, it's quite simple, really. We need to read and study God's word more often. Jen alluded to that, didn't she, as well? Where do we need to go? We need to go to the scriptures. What else do we need to do? We need to spend more time in prayer, in conversation with God. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them, don't you? As Jen alluded to as well, and we didn't confer, did we, Jen? It's just how God works, so just dovetails things into place. We need to spend more time in fellowship with other Christians. What else? I put down here, we need to spend more time being obedient and carrying out God's will. God says in the scriptures, in 1 John 2 verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. There's two no's in there. In Matthew 22 verse 35, when Jesus was being tested by the religious leaders of the day, one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And in the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." They're the two commandments that Jesus offered. So if we want to know God better, then we should be listening and doing what Jesus tells us to do. And for anyone who doesn't know or yada God, or for anybody who doesn't feel connected to him, let's find out what the Creator says in his word about that. Well, Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He says in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." And in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Jesus said in Revelations, "So be earnest and repent." I think it's important to put that in first before the next verse, which is quite often used. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with them and they with me." So we need to be earnest and repent in order for Jesus to come through that door. Amen.